In a way, aren't we all Spartacus?
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell, thanks to the Hollywood Avondale.
Good afternoon, Steve.
G'day there.
Good afternoon.
How's it going in the cinema streaming TV land?
Cinema streaming TV land, it's pretty good. I've got a combo of the above to talk about today. Okay. So last time I was in here, I trotted off down the hill to IMAX to see Ad Astra, Brad Pitt's new sci-fi pick. And since then, maybe some of the listeners have gone to see it. Maybe some of them liked it. And
sounds
maybe
ideal on
maybe
IMAX.
Some of them didn't like it, but man, I dug this movie. It was great on IMAX.
Yeah, I feel like it's a good one for IMAX.
It doesn't really, I don't think it actually like technically uses the format, but the big space stuff, it just should be seen on the biggest possible screen. The film follows Brad Pitt. It's kind of like a loose remake of Apocalypse Now. It sort of feels like he's been sent on a mission. Sheen got sent upriver in Apocalypse Now. Pitt gets sent to Mars to make contact with his dad. He's gone rogue, a bit like in Apocalypse Now, Marlon Brando's gone rogue. And it basically becomes a really intense film where, I mean, Brad Pitt doesn't really have any co-stars in this film. It's mostly him with the other cast members almost in cameo roles. Like no one else appears on screen for more than
a few minutes. Do they appear on TVs minutes. And stuff?
A little bit of TV and stuff, yeah.
It's like monitors.
Tommy Lee Jones plays his dad. It's not like a totally solo dude movie, but it's just really about this very compartmentalized astronaut who sort of starts coming apart a little bit. It's a great performance, and I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Brad Pitt nominated for an Academy Award for this and for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Is there that usual sort of space movie thing where it's like, hey, he's in outer space, he could die any second?
Yeah, there's a bit of that. There's a lot of kind of like...
we're all in outer space.
We are all in outer space. We're all traveling on a big ball.
We could die at any second.
It's going really fast. There's some good rockets in this, but yes, there are some man against the cosmos shots and isolation moments that are really cool. There's also some great action scenes. Some people found it a bit boring. Stuff off, I say.
CGI.
I watched really Mad Max at the IMAX, and it was just too much, too loud, too everything. It was way too much. So I'm quite keen to watch Slow Burn. If it is even a hint of a slow burn, is it still on at the IMAX?
Pass. But if, tell you what, if you go to flicks.co.nz, you can look up all the times.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's got times in that.
Steve, are you taking phone calls?
Yeah, we can take a phone call, yeah.
Hello, BFM.
Hey, is this movie on par or better than the movie Mood?
I don't think it's as much of a, we haven't quite seen anything like this before as Moon. But it's in the same kind of terrain, like it's the same sort of pacing. But Moon's quite low budget and claustrophobic, and this is definitely big budget and lots of special effects and stuff.
I suppose Moon's more budget,
but
nuts as well.
Moon's more like one angry man. Kind of thing.
Yeah, like angry.
Well, I mean, we could delve more into the number of angry men, but no spoilers.
12 Angry Men, what a movie.
Yeah, awesome.
Do you reckon they'll remove Kevin Spacey as the voice of the robot in Moon?
I think didn't he kind of get like, oh, sorry about that, or something with his old deal?
Yeah.
I don't really keep up.
If you're off to the movies, go see Ad Astra, I reckon. If you're hanging about at home, I had a great time watching the Between Two Ferns, the movie on Netflix the other night, the feature-length version, well, like kind of 80-ish minutes of... Zach Galifianakis's satirical interview series with celebs. You saw it as well, John.
He takes it across country.
I watched it last night. It's good. It's good. A couple of really great moments.
It's mostly the... if you're familiar with those Funny or Die shorts that have been happening for maybe like the last 10 years or so now, the gist is celebrities know that they're going in to be... kind of roasted by their interview, but they don't know the specifics, so they're not scripted. And it's fun to watch them squirm. It's so much fun watching people squirm and how they choose to deal with it. Like there's always the odd one who thinks that they can play clever clogs and kind of turn the tables back on Galifianakis, and it doesn't work, and they also kind of come across like dicks. And not to give too much away, but in this film, that person is Benedict Cumberbatch. Knob. But there's the premise is that he sets off across country. He's got to film a ton of interviews within a prescribed time period. And so it's just an excuse to basically get lots of celebrities between the ferns. There's not quite enough of the interviews and probably a little bit too much of that connecting story, but there's enough gags to make it worthwhile for sure.
It's good. It's definitely, you know, enjoyable and worth watching. Especially as it gets towards the end, there's a great
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's great.
Also, in the closing credits, when you see outtakes from the interviews, which is something that I hadn't seen before, where you see Galifianakis cracking during an interview. See how actually how it works when it's not just being cut together in its finished form. So I really recommend that. That's a good kind of get the flatmates together watch, I reckon, that one. Mm. Yeah, and look, if you're in the vicinity of the Hollywood Avondale over the next few days, they've got a trifecta of films playing on actual film, led on Thursday night by Al Pacino's somewhat controversial Cruising, which I've got
like
vague memories of
kind of cruising,
or you know, could be a cop cruising.
No, but what is it?
Yeah, well,
it's a combination of cruising.
I'm asking you.
He's a cop and he's cruising.
There we go. That's the synopsis. It's set in the late 70s in New York's leather and S&M gay club scene, and okay. Pacino is hunting a killer of said patrons. Mm. Hugely controversial at the time. Directed by William Friedkin, who'd had a great couple of massive hits with The French Connection and The Exorcist, and then things didn't go quite so well with his next couple of movies. He opened one the same week as Star Wars, which wasn't very successful for him. But then came to make Cruising, and people got the gay community got fucked off, the squares got fucked off, and it just kind of film fell into this uncomfortable place where it took a while before people really came back around to it again. It is pretty full on, but it's not as full on as the he reckons 40 minutes of sex that he cut out of the film.
Room.
He got it for here. It started as an X rating. He reckons he went to the censors 50 times and 40 minutes got cut out. And so this is what remains, still sufficient to get an R18 rating. And that's Thursday night at the Hollywood. Also this weekend you can see Mummy Dearest, which is Faye Dunaway's incredible portrayal of Joan Crawford. If you haven't seen this film, I highly recommend it. And in a theatre with other punters is a great way to do it. It is a dialed up to 10, or maybe even more, hysteric drama. And then there's Pacino back again for Serpico. So, three goodies at the Hollywood this weekend.
If anyone would like to go to any of those, we've got a double pass giveaway. You can call us 309-3879. Or send us a text through to 53395 with your name and your B-card, and you can go to the hollywoodavondale.nz to check out more info on these films.
Mean.
Cheers, Steve.
Catch you next week.
Thanks.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM, thanks to the Hollywood Avondale.